You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. It is a Monday edition of the show, March 18th. Hope everybody had a great St. Paddy's Day yesterday on the 17th, or enjoying a whole St. Patrick's Day weekend, because we are coming back to start this week with an absolute bang, kind of recapping some of the big moves that the Bucks made really over the weekend, on Friday specifically, and just moments before this podcast started today as well. As the topic is the Bucks secondary even better now? You had the Jordan Whitehead move last week, which you spoke about on Wednesday and Thursday show. There obviously was a signing of Bryce Hall as well on Friday, which adds a lot of depth to the Bucks secondary. And there's just a move moments ago that the Bucks made, signing on another cornerback to bring even more depth to that room. We'll also talk about some of the offensive linemen signings that went on with the Buccaneers as well. So a lot to get into on this action-packed Monday show. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me, it's the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com and just broke some news about the Buccaneers, SR, Scott Reynolds. Scott, how we doing?
Doing good, Matt. It's a busy Monday already. The Buccaneers still improving their secondary. And boy, interesting topic today, right? We kind of nailed this a little bit with regards to what the team was planning on doing. And sure enough, they did. They made a move signing a nickel cornerback to Tavier Thomas, who might, if that name sounds familiar, he had a pretty good game against the Buccaneers last year, forcing a fumble right there.
Yeah.
With some good coverage on Trey Palmer. Thankfully, the Buccaneers recovered that fumble, took a late lead in the game, but it wasn't enough to overcome a comeback by the Houston Texans in that game. But Tavier Thomas, as Pewter Report just broke up, I'll drop the story in Pewter Report's podcast chat here, but they've added another cornerback. This is the second cornerback, as you mentioned, Matt. They've already added Bryce Hall from the Jets, and now Tavier Thomas comes in. I think this is a really good signing. This is a veteran addition here to the Buccaneers. There we go. Dropped it in the chat. He's got some experience in the nickel, 5'10", 205, physical player. And it takes some of the pressure off of the Buccaneers having to draft a cornerback, especially early. I wouldn't be surprised if they do one in the later rounds, Matt, but I think this is really taking the defensive backfield, the safety, nickel corner, cornerback off the table for the Buccaneers in the first, say, three rounds, those premium draft picks, first, second, and third round. Not ruling out the fact that they wouldn't draft one in the third round. But, Matt, it just seems to me like this team is going to be focused on interior offensive line and edge rusher with those premium picks now.
Yeah, I think it's really important for the Bucks. I think last year you can say that they were a bit front-loaded with, like, the cornerback position while maybe not addressing safety as much as they really wanted to. And, you know, they did have to rely on guys like Christian Issien, who I thought did a solid job, but at the end of the day, we're also talking about an undrafted free agent, the same with right. Kayvon Merriweather. This offseason, you know, with the signing of Tavier Thomas and Bryce Hall, it really feels more well-rounded of a secondary, and obviously with the signing of Jordan Whitehead as well, where the cornerback room is still quite strong, in my opinion. Yes, you lose Carlton Davis, but you bump up Zion McCollum, and I had questions about the depth of the Bucs after Jamel Dean and Zion McCollum, especially given the injury history of Jamel Dean, and that kind of gets answered with Bryce Hall, who you see on the screen right there, and Thomas. And what's cool about Thomas as well is, again, the Bucs last season, going back to Izzy, and it was, well, we hope he can play the nickel. He's going to be our nickel kind of by default. They didn't really have too many other options.
Right.
Now, going into training camp, and this is early on, I'm sure there will be a fun/friendly little competition for who gets to become that starting nickel corner. Because while Issien was okay at it, he certainly didn't do enough to be like, oh, he's our no doubt about it starter week one beginning this year. Yeah. And there's always the chance that they move him back to safety or they move him strictly to a corner. So it gives the Bucks a lot of options, which I think is really good to see. Now, Thomas, a little bit of injury history. Only played 9 games last season, 10 games in 2022. Before that, he was mostly relatively healthy. He played 17 in 2021 and 16 games in the 16-game season in 2019 and 2020. So really, his rookie year was the first time that he kind of missed games due to injury.
Right.
Recently, so hopefully he can stay up health wise because Lord knows the Bucks have had their myriad after myriad of injuries in the secondary, and you know that's why you build out depth though in these spots.
Yeah, for sure. And when you look at the signing of Bryce Hall too, really liked him coming out of Virginia as well.
Yeah,
and you know, Matt, as a Jets aficionado, that is your AFC team. If you can kind of maybe fill us in on what you like about Bryce Hall. I remember just at Virginia, physical player, has good size. He seems like a fit in a Todd Bowles defense on the outside, certainly more than the inside, was a day 3 pick, I believe due to injury coming out of Virginia, if my memory serves me correctly. But how has he progressed with the Jets over the last couple of years? And, of course, has that chemistry already playing with Jordan Whitehead the last 2 years?
For sure. Yeah, the Bucs went very Jets heavy with this free agency, with Hall and Jordan Whitehead. Obviously,
thankfully,
Whitehead
not on the offensive line.
Yes, not on the offensive line, not at backup quarterback. Thankfully. I would take John Wolford over Zach Wilson any day. But, anyway, so Hall's had a very interesting trajectory for his career. And you hit the nail on the head with the physicality. At times, he can be a little too handsy, but he's not afraid to go up against anyone. He'll be up in your face trying to just kind of out-muscle the receiver, which has had varying degrees of success. Now, early on in his career, he became a starter, I believe in his first or second season. So he has that great experience of being a starter in a pretty talented defense. The Jets have always had pretty good defenses. It's the offense where there's truly been a nightmare on that side of the ball. Then Bryce Hall got benched. But, I mean, yes, he got benched, but it was only because there was other talented corners in front of him. You know, they drafted Sauce Gardner, who in 2 years has been a first-team All-Pro and All-Rookie. And they signed DJ Reed 2 seasons ago, who's a really, really talented corner. So they kind of became
Kansas State.
There you go. Ewan. Yeah. And so when you have it's widely discussed around the league that, I mean, Sauce Gardner is one of the best corners in the league.
Yes,
DJ Reed, they make a great 1-2 combo at the cornerback position. So, yes, it was a demotion for Bryce Hall. However, it was really just because he's dealing with the best of the best. So the Bucs are getting a guy that can come in and start. He had a defensive touchdown last season on a strip sack by Bryce Huff. not to be confused with Bryce Hall or Breece Hall that the Jets also had. He did have an interception last season as well. Hasn't taken the ball away an incredible amount, but had a couple spot starts last season. I know Sauce Gardner missed a game because of a concussion. And DJ Reed missed a game as well. So he does have that spot starting availability. There we go.
Yep.
And that might be the case this season with Jamel Dean and the issues that Jamel Dean has had. So a physical corner can take the ball away at times. Again, very varied options last season because he was a backup. Right. But I like this move in terms of the depth purposes, the communication with Jordan Whitehead, as you just said. Buck's got to be ready for Jamel Dean to miss time. I'm not banking on him playing 17 games, and I like Bryce Hall as the first guy off the bench to come in and kind of get some opportunities if Dean's out.
Yeah, and you know, to me, the number one takeaway for me is again, we talked about what this does for the Buccaneers draft. They don't have to address the defensive backfield in the first couple of picks with the premium pick. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to find a good player. I think Zion McCollum can be a very good player, and the Bucs traded up to get him in the fifth round a couple of years ago. So this team certainly values draft picks from any round, 1 through 7. Having said that, though, even though Todd Bowles has not been shy about starting rookies, right? Go back to the Super Bowl season in 2020. Yep. He started Antoine Winfield Jr. at free safety, wire to wire. His first start was in week one at New Orleans against Drew Brees, right, of all people. So he's not afraid of playing young players. And go back a season further, in 2019, his first season as defensive coordinator when Bruce Arians was the head coach, well, who were the draft picks then, right? You looked at Sean Murphy Bunting in the second round, Jamel Dean in the third round of that draft. Mike Edwards was a third-round pick. So there's a lot of players that were in that draft class that wound up starting. Now, that was the first year of a new regime, so you're maybe a little – you've got some Wrong leeway, things. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're willing to start some of those young players. But, again, I don't think Todd Bowles is afraid of playing younger players. We saw Kayvon Merriweather – play significant amount of starts towards the end, not starts, but snaps towards the end of the season when Ryan Neal was faltering. But what this screams to me is for a pass defense that really needs to improve this season. And of course, you mentioned Christian Izzy starting wire to wire all 17 games as the nickel corner. With younger players, there's going to be some growing pains, right? There's going to be some mistakes. And it's not like, Izzy is to blame for all of the Bucks' woes or whatever, because you could make the case Ryan Neal, a veteran, made more mistakes in coverage than Christian Izzy did. But I think maybe this year the team is looking for more veterans, more experience, savvy players to shore up that secondary. And if there is an injury or some inconsistent play and they need to make a switch, they've got an experienced guy coming off the bench, and there's not going to be a drop off in talent or certainly experience for that situation.
And not just an experienced guy, but not like a veteran, kind of like the Richard Sherman situation, where it was a veteran who was on his last legs that like the wheels started falling off of Richard Sherman as well, even after he, briefly played. And yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Todd Bowles can work with rookies and young players. But again, there's nothing in the rule book that says that you can't just go with a veteran that's still quite capable and can kind of lessen the blow of, how many busted coverages were there last season. And to your point, it's not all on Christian Izzy. And I think a lot was on Ryan Neal. And you kind of go, well, how's a veteran that's been in this league for quite a while, how all of a sudden is he the reason for these busted coverages? That's an answer that we're not really going to get. However, trying to eliminate all of these busted coverages and miscommunications as possible, I think, is going to be absolutely paramount for this Bucs defense, especially with some of the transition that they're going to be having, at edge rusher with no more Shaq Barrett and presumably a new starting edge rusher in there.
Yeah.
KJ Britt at linebacker. Yes, Lavonte David's back, and that's gigantic. But KJ Britt only started a couple of games. Now we're going to see a full season of KJ Britt as a starter, and communication goes across the board. I know we're talking about the secondary at the moment and corner and safety. So I'm all about it. Just bringing in capable veterans, not just a, oh, hey, well, he's a name and he used to have a great career. Like Bryce Hall's still quite young. You know, he's only been in the league for a couple of seasons now. So I think that was a really important signing. Thomas, I'm excited about for what he can do at nickel. Also has some special teams experience, which is always important for this Bucs group. You make yourself as versatile as possible. You're going to have a spot on this team. So
yeah,
it should be fun to see for sure. Let's get to the super chat from Meets McGee. If you super chat us, we're happy to talk about any topic. So a little bit of a different discussion from the secondary, but that's quite all right. Thanks, Meets McGee, for this $5 super chat, who says, please, Scott, explain to Bucs fans how important the signing of John Wolford is to this offense. I look at him as Blaine Gabbert to Brady, as John is to Baker.
Yeah, that's actually a very spot-on analysis. I can tell that you are one of the more informed Buccaneer fans out there, Meets McGee. You must read Peter Report and listen to the Peter Report podcast. don't take my word for it, though, Meets McGee. I'm going to read you a direct quote from Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers, who worked with John Wolford out there in L.A., And I quote, he's so sharp. It's not just football. He's an extremely intelligent person. Just being in the room, the situational football conversations that go on. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they give you this? The dialogue that John helps bring to the table, it would be great to be able to get him back. This is, of course, before they announced the re-signing of him. Just another voice to be able to teach the system to the guys, because he spent a ton of time in that system. Just the advantage of having both of those guys in the room helps this whole thing to go together. So you're right. Having the experience in Liam Cohen's offense will be very similar to how Blaine Gabbert was able to teach so quickly, especially during a COVID season. Tom Brady, the greatest of all time to ever do it. But Blaine Gabbert, having played with Bruce Arians in Arizona, knew the system way better than Brady did. And you can ask Tom Brady. He'll tell you Blaine Gabbert was like another coach in the room. Mm-hmm. And that's so important, because sometimes you get things from listening to your elders, right? Whether it's your parents, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a coach. Sometimes you get something even better when you're getting it from a peer. And I think that peer-to-peer relationship sometimes can help. Remember, John Wolford's out there on the field, right? He's going to get third string snaps, but he's out there on the field. And so Baker Mayfield has 5 weeks of experience in this system. John Wolford has several years worth of experience in this system, which is more Rams centric than Seahawks centric. And so I think that he really adds some value. Not just that, Matt, but there were times where in practice, John Wolford was the best quarterback, whether it was like an occasional OTA during the summer or even a couple of training camp practices. He was the guy in the red zone that was wheeling and dealing.
You read my mind, Scott. That was one of the first things I was going to bring up, that there was some brief times, and I had it on the mind because obviously it was reported that John Wolford signed with the Bucs. So you're kind of racking your brain of memories of the third string quarterback and what he did. And not all the time, but kind of early on in that Baker Trask, quarterback battle, whatever you want to call it. There were times where John Wolford was the best quarterback that day or had some of the best moments. John Wolford, I still think, has a case for having the best deep ball out of the quarterback room. That,
in terms of accuracy.
Accuracy currently of the Bucs quarterback room. That doesn't mean he's going to be the starter, but he certainly had his moments in training camp. Kind of similar to Blaine Gabbert as well, where got injured in a preseason game, that game against the Jets. Remember, he got stretchered off. Blaine Gabbert dislocated his shoulder. Thankfully, John Wolford was fine. It was good to go for the rest of the season, where Gabbert missed the rest of the season, but obviously came back for the next couple of years. Wolford, remember too, he almost was not part of this team by November, because on October 30th, the Bucs had to sign him to the active 53-man roster because the Rams, of all teams, were looking to pluck him from the Bucs practice squad and bring him over to L.A. to be on the roster. And it's so funny because last year, a lot of us were saying, you know, John Wolford's going to be super helpful because he's, like, familiar with this offense that Dave Canales is running. And outside of Brad Izick and Dave Canales and really David Moore when they signed him, no one else knew the offense. And we were saying that Wolford was in a similar offense.
That's right.
Wolford is even more valuable now because he literally played in this offense with Liam Cohen, going back to his time with the Rams and spent some time with Liam Cohen. So he's going to know the offense even better now than he did a year ago based on that familiarity. And Baker only had a couple of weeks with Liam Cohen. Wolford had seasons with Liam Cohen. So his value even went up just a little bit more with that hiring of Liam Cohen as offensive coordinator. And, you know, we'll see what happens this season. He is a QB3. It's probably the most we're going to be talking about him, hopefully, you know, this season. But, hey, hats off to him. He seemed like a good locker room guy last year. No reason not to bring him back.
Yep, I agree. And I don't want to cause any controversy here, but, I mean, and I'm not forecasting this is going to happen either, okay, because based upon the opportunities that you look at Kyle Trask, he's going to get, right, as the incumbent number two.
Yeah.
And a talent in his own right. He was a second-round draft pick. And you got John Wolford, who I think was either a late-round pick or undrafted free agent coming out of Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. But there's a familiarity with Liam Cohen and with John Wolford that Dave Canales didn't have with Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask or John Wolford, right? So having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if John Wolford ends up being the backup quarterback this year. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm not saying it's not going to happen either, because there is a comfortability, and you could just see in talking to Liam Cohen how excited he was about John Wolford, even when he wasn't signed yet by the Buccaneers. Yeah. So you have to take that into consideration. The other thing you have to take into consideration, folks, is it's a Monday. And if you're going to be at the Peter Report podcast any day of the week, we highly recommend that you attend Monday's live Peter Report podcast for one reason. Matthew, what is that?
That's because it's Roll Call. Where are you at, Peter people? We do this every Monday, usually around 4:20. Sometimes we're a couple of minutes fashionably late, but that's quite all right.
We had some breaking news
that we had to get to, and we want to inform you, the Peter people. So anyway, around 4:20 every Monday show, we do this fun little thing called Roll Call. We love our fans. We love you guys so much. And we try to interact with you guys as much as we possibly can. So one of the ways that we do that is with Roll Call every Monday. One of us goes on a rant or a diatribe about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And while we're doing that, if you want to put up on the screen or put up in the chat where you are watching from, like James Hamilton from Louisville, Kentucky, we will put it up on the screen and give you guys a shout out while you are watching the show. So, Scott, I don't know if you have anything. You have a rant? All right, let's get to it.
Well, let's see. So I was at when Matt and Sly were doing the podcast last Thursday, I was at One Buccaneer Place talking with the newest member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who is an old familiar face, Jordan Whitehead. And boy, this guy was super excited to be back in Tampa, for a couple of reasons. Number one, he got to make some money with the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. And he was a little peeved when he left Tampa Bay and went to the Jets. But let's not forget that he was a big-time hitter here in Tampa. He was a box safety. And he was a little peeved when he left because if you go back to his last game in Tampa Bay, he wasn't on the field for a very important play, and that was that deep shot from Matthew Stafford to Cooper Kupp in the NFC divisional playoff game, one of the worst losses in Tampa Bay history that ended the Buccaneers' Super Bowl dreams of repeating and propelled the Rams, really, I think, to the Super Bowl by knocking off Tampa Bay. And the reason why he wasn't on the field is because he was more of that box safety, that blitzer, that strong safety. That type of enforcer, did have some ball skills, but didn't play deep that much. That's because Antoine Winfield Jr. was more of the deep safety under Todd Bowles. Well, when he went to the Jets, the good thing that he was able to do there is play more coverage, because with the Jets, Todd Bowles does not play a lot of cover two, doesn't play a lot of cover four, but what the Jets play a lot of is cover two and cover four. Todd Bowles is more likely to play cover three, cover one with that single high safety, which is typically Winfield. Sometimes when Todd Bowles wants to blitz Winfield, mm-hmm. he'll bring him down to the slot. And you'll see that safety rotate back to the strong safety rotate back to the middle of the field. They tried that with Ryan Neal last year. Didn't work out very well. So with a guy like Jordan Whitehead, though, he did go to the Jets, and he was able to record four interceptions last year, which is a season high, including three against Josh Allen in the week one upset. And I say upset because even though the Jets were favored over the Buffalo Bills when Aaron Rodgers went out with an injury, eight snaps into his Jets career, that torn Achilles tendon, the Jets still came back to beat the Bills, mostly in part due to those three interceptions that Josh Allen threw to Jordan Whitehead. Mm-hmm. So Whitehead returns to Tampa better in coverage as a result. He's still going to play in the box. Why? Because you have Antoine Winfield Jr., who can still patrol the center field spot, and he got three interceptions last year. I think dropped another one, so he probably should have had more. But, man, you have got two safeties now that I think can both play in the box and both play deep because Jordan Whitehead returns to Tampa a more improved player, a more well-rounded player, and as Whitehead said, he elevated his game in New York. But there's no place like home, and Jordan Whitehead, who was a fourth-round draft pick just several years ago in Tampa Bay, is back home where he's looking forward to reuniting with Antoine Winfield Jr., and the Bash brothers are back in action now for the Buccaneers in the secondary. And I think Tampa Bay's secondary took a big step forward with that because that safety spot opposite Winfield last year, as good as Winfield played, was a big weakness and largely in part due to Ryan Neal and then not having that effective backup to come in to elevate that play, whether it was the rookie Kayvon Merriweather, whether it was Dee Delaney. It just wasn't that good opposite Winfield. And now with Whitehead, that strong safety spot gets way better.
There's no question about it, Scott, and I like how you kind of just played all of that out because the Bucs defense and the Jets defense that Jordan Whitehead played on are very, very different. You talked about some of the coverages. The Jets on defense almost never blitzed because they had Bryce Huff. They just had a great defensive line, Jermaine Johnson as well, Will McDonald, who you're a little familiar with from Iowa State. You know, they're hoping he takes another big step. But anyway, that's way different than what Jordan Whitehead was with the Buccaneers. So he had to essentially learn how to get better in coverage or else he wasn't going to see the field. And it almost kind of reminds me of like a UFC fighter that's getting ready for his next fight. Now, if a UFC fighter is really good standing up and throwing punches, if he's facing a guy that's good at wrestling or the ground and pound and that type of stuff, he's going to go to a separate camp as well to work on his jiu-jitsu, his ground and pound and things like that.
Grappling.
So that's what I kind of see with Jordan Whitehead. It's like, okay, with the Bucs, he had the physicality. He could knock the ball loose. He could stop the run really, really well. Then he goes to the Jets. Oh, crap, I'm going to be playing a lot of coverage. I got to take the ball away. I got to figure out how to play in cover two, in cover four, and all these different things. So Jordan Whitehead comes back a better player than he was when he left the Bucs, and he was already a solid player when leaving Tampa Bay and going to the Jets. And I know the big Josh Allen game was everything with the three interceptions. He did have one later in the season with against the Raiders. My dad was actually at that game, so I remember it specifically. And I bet on Jordan Whitehead to get an interception that game. So, with the Jets, he had one against the Raiders last season. I'm not saying he's going to get four interceptions and have a three interception type of game, but even just a little bit of an upgrade in taking the ball away will do wonders for this Buccaneers defense because they need turnovers in the worst way from their guys in the secondary. Kind of like when I'm feeling a little bit sluggish or whatever, I need a Celsius in the worst way because Celsius is the best thing around when it comes to energy drinks. Check out the new brand of Celsius, the Celsius Essentials. They are the tall boys of Celsius energy drinks. 270 milligrams of caffeine. Check out their great flavors like the Blue Crush and the Dragonberry. Maybe like some of the original OG Celsius flavors could be the strawberry lemonade or the cucumber lime or the Arctic Vibe, my personal favorite that's out there. If you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, go to the Celsius store locator on their website, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest location where you can pick one up. Might be a Walmart, might be a health and fitness store, or it could just be where Jordan Whitehead used to go to a lot when he lived in New York, a bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love Celsius and you want to get more and you want to get it in bulk, as Christopher Oxentine says, the Astro vibe is great. Shaggy giving a shout out to the Dragon Barry as well. Get it in bulk. Go to Amazon Prime. Do the subscribe and save, and you can have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. I'd recommend getting that variety pack because variety is the spice of life. And here we talk about all the awesome flavors of Celsius. But yeah, go over to Amazon Prime, pick it up, have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in captain. You're the charge. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Real quick, I see we got a super chat before that. Want to give a shout out to a couple of our fans that participated in roll call. Had a great turnout once again. A lot of international as well, but we'll start out with Kelly watching from Lutz. The lovely Lutz, as Kelly says. Buck 78 from Gluckstadt, Mississippi. We got a Midwest Bucks fan, Shaggy, watching from Illinois. This one, I think, is a first for the Pewter Report podcast. Ebenezer Mags watching from Palmer, Alaska. Very cool to see that. E-Tube from Buckinghamshire in the UK. Bootsman Burned from Berlin. So got Germany in the house. Joseph watching from SoCal. Angelina S. from Tampa Bay. Peter Marlowe from Chippingham in the UK. And last but not least, Treyboy970 watching from Land O'Lakes, Florida, who also says, go Bucks. Great turnout again, guys. Sorry we can't get to everyone, but appreciate the participation. You guys are the best. Let's get to this super chat from Phil with an F. Thanks for the $2 super chat. Says, our draft needs edge, offensive guard slash center, cornerback, inside linebacker. In order, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that certainly could be the case right now. Don't be surprised if Tampa Bay takes advantage of a pretty decent defensive tackle draft as well. There's a little bit of concern. Logan Hall might not be all that. And we know how quickly Jason Light will be apt to replace you if you're not producing. So this is a big year for Logan Hall. And again, with Will Golston probably not coming back, Mike Green is that other young guy in the mix. And they just re-signed Greg Gaines, but he's also just, you know, 1 year deal. Vita Vea knocking on 29's door. So, you know, time flies in Tampa when you're having fun, winning Super Bowls and winning NFC South championships. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa Bay dips its toe in the defensive tackle waters as well. Cornerback now, can never have enough good corners, right? That's a given. So that's always going to be the mix there. And also, too, I wouldn't rule out another safety as well.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, Scott, like, I almost think a backup safety might be a little bit more important than a backup corner for the Bucs right now. Because you got Hall and you know, Thomas, who is more of a nickel, but, you know, if push came to shove, could probably play the outside. Where safety, it's like you got Winfield, you got Whitehead, but after that, like Izzian mostly played in the slots, so now you're kind of asking him to play a position that he didn't play last year. And, you know, Merriweather didn't play too much at you know, safety last year, and I don't know if the Bucks feel great about him being a full-time, you know, safety in that type of situation where they would probably look to upgrade in another situation.
Yep. So here's the Bucks secondary depth chart. The new players are in red. That's supposed to be Jordan Whitehead in red, not Orden. So excuse the typo there. But Jordan with the J, supposed to be red. But you've got Quandre Mosley, who was signed this offseason. Jordan Whitehead, Tavier Thomas, and Bryce Hall. So those are the new players in the secondary right now. And then you've also got Zion McCollum, who's a new starter. So there are several players that I think Tampa Bay is excited about in terms of their depth. Merriweather is one of those, and it might be a situation where Tavier Thomas beats out Christian Izzian for the starting nickelback corner job. Keenan Isaac was a player that showed some signs last year. He's got some talent, but did not have the experience to really make the active roster. He was more of a practice squad type player. And Josh Hayes might be a little bit of a sleeper. He's a player that starred as a gunner, and was actually one of the better gunners in the league. And we'll see if he can push for some playing time, not as a starter, but as a guy coming off the bench, maybe, as we saw Zion McCollum last year, Matt. actually outsnapped both Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis due to injuries to both those players, right? And now Carlton Davis has moved on. The Bucks got a third-round draft pick for him and traded a sixth-round pick to Detroit for that third-rounder. So it was kind of an even swap with the draft picks, although the Buccaneers get a day-two pick for their day-three selection and Carlton Davis. But with Jamel Dean, Matt, he's good when he's healthy and focused, but, man, the injuries the last couple of years have really kept him on the sidelines far too often.
And that's why, to kind of bring it full circle with like drafting a corner and, you know, should they, how much longer should you wait? I mean, we can't look too far ahead. We still have this offseason to get through for the Buccaneers, right. But this could be Jamel Dean's last season in Tampa Bay. All things considered, if like injuries kind of flare up again and the Bucs don't want to pay a ton of money to Jamel Dean for only getting like X amount of games. So I don't know. I could kind of see a situation where the Bucs kind of draft his replacement this year. And obviously not in the first round, but kind of just look for that next answer right away, where you're looking at the 2025 season with Zion as your CB1. And then let's just say they take a second round corner this year. I'm not saying that they will, but hypothetically, then those are your starters for next season, because Hall is only on a 1 year deal. A lot of these guys are on 1 year deals. So yeah, it's nice to have this season, but if you're thinking long term, that kind of makes me question the cornerback position in the first place. Yeah. You mentioned Keenan Isaac, and I saw someone in the comments was asking about Keenan Isaac as well. He is going to be a fun one for me to watch this upcoming training camp, because yeah, he was not NFL ready. He got burned like toast sometimes.
In practice, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, granted, he's guarding like Mike Evans and stuff like that. And that's going to happen. But he did show a little bit of an ability to take the ball away, have some interceptions. And obviously with training camp, you got to take in a little bit with a grain of salt. Like sometimes it's a fourth down play at the goal line and you got to get rid of the ball. So you're going to try to, you know, thread the needle on a pass or throw a fade. And Keenan Isaac was able to get there and make the interception. But I like his length. I like that. You know, we say with quarterbacks all the time, you got to have a short memory after you throw an interception. I think cornerbacks are very similar. Like, you're going to get beat on plays.
Yeah.
Not everything's going to go your way. That's just how the NFL is now. And so, I don't know. I'm not projecting him to be a starter or anything like that. But in terms of, like, depth and things of that nature, that would be a little bit of an interest for me. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think the Bucs are necessarily done with corner, but
yeah
it's not anything where it's a absolute necessity early on.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Isaac too, as we found out with Zion McCollum making a big jump from Sam Houston State to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. It's a big jump from Alabama State to the NFL, not Alabama, Alabama State. But Keenan Isaac, you mentioned those tools that he has. That 6'3" 195 pound size, that's a big one, right? That's big in terms of being a Todd Bowles outside cornerback. He likes those longer, lengthier, taller corners. And I think that certainly fits the bill. I agree with you 100%. Jamel Dean, the clock's ticking. The reason why Jamel Dean wasn't traded this offseason is because he just signed his deal.
Yeah.
This past year, the Bucs will take a negative cap hit with some dead cap money. As a result of letting Jamel Dean go. With Carlton Davis, they were able to save over $6 billion because he was entering the final year of his deal. Mm-hmm. He's an older cornerback, too, at 27. He'll be 28 later this year. But Jamel Dean's a little bit younger, and now he signed a three-year deal, so he is in year two of that. It'll be the same situation for Jamel Dean last year. And newsflash to Jamel, the reason why Carlton Davis was traded for two reasons. Number one, couldn't stay healthy. Number two, couldn't take the ball away. And of course, that picture we just had up of Jamel Dean, that was from the divisional playoff game at Detroit, where he dropped an end zone interception that cost the Bucs 3 points because the Lions kicked a field goal on that drive. And those are the plays he's got to be able to make. He has the talent and the ability to do that. Matt, he's just got to take away the ball more. And I think that's really one of the things, too. When you look at the players that they brought in, Jordan Whitehead coming off four interceptions. Tavier Thomas also had some interceptions in his career with the Texans. Christian Izzian got up to a pretty good start with a pair of interceptions in his first two games, but then was dry as a desert after that. And Bryce Hall, you know, he was not a big ball hawk with the Jets, but you know, had just as many interceptions as Jamel Dean did last year, right? With one.
With way less time,
exactly. So when you look at Tampa Bay last year, their secondary, and we're still waiting for Zion McCollum's first one. He dropped one that he is still regretting to this day. I'm sure if I called Zion McCollum and asked him about Christmas Eve, he would say, oh, you mean the present I didn't get myself when I dropped that interception against Jacksonville in the end zone? Still waiting for his first pick in the NFL, but did have 15 interceptions in college, so he has the ability to take the ball away. But Matt, 13 interceptions for the Buccaneers defense last year. Only 9 came from the secondary, though. 9. That's bad. Devin White had 2 interceptions. Will Golston had an interception. Shaq Barrett had a pick last year. Only 9 from the secondary. That's got to change. The year prior to that, they had 10 interceptions as an entire team. Only 10.
Yeah.
All 10 came from the secondary. And why is that number important? Well, because if you look at what happened in the previous seasons, right? In 2021, this team had the best record it's ever had, 13-4. They had 17 interceptions, including 16 from the secondary. So that's a huge jump, right? To go from having 16 picks one year down to 10, then down to 9. You know, it's moving in the wrong direction. And then you look at the year prior to that, in 2020, well, the Bucs went to the Super Bowl that season. They had 15 interceptions. You look at the fact that Jason Pierre-Paul had 2, believe it or not, recorded more interceptions than some of the Bucs defensive backs, and Levante David had 1 out of that season. So that's 3. So you take away 15 minus 3. So they had 12 interceptions as a secondary, which is still a little bit better than they've done over the last 2 seasons. So the Bucs, you know, if you want to help your offense score more than 18 points, which was the case back in 2022, or 21 points, which was the case last year, take the ball away, give it back to the offense in favorable field position. Interceptions, that's something Tampa Bay wants to improve this year.
Yeah, I look back at this season, the game in New Orleans where they beat the Saints, like a lot of that game was the catalyst was taking the ball away. Like, I think the Bucs, Baker threw an interception, I think, like around the goal line. Something happened where the Saints had it like near the goal line.
Yeah.
And Antoine Winfield Jr. just took the ball away. So the Bucs had like first and goal at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of led to a score and obviously sent the momentum for that game against New Orleans. And yeah. I mean, it's easy to say, hey, take the ball away and you're going to play better. But I think the Bucs are one of the better teams at taking advantage and capitalizing on those turnovers, those mistakes, because they happen so few and far between. I mean, it was really, and some of those turnovers really were saving points off the board, not even setting up the Bucs to score. Like again, I know we're talking interceptions, but the forced fumbles by Antoine Winfield Jr., that was to take points off the board. That didn't necessarily set the Bucs up with a, he only needs to travel 20 yards to score a touchdown or get into field goal range. So I think across the board, we could see a lot better play from the Bucs because I think the offense is only going to be better this season.
Yeah.
With Baker back, with everyone back essentially, and a better running game. And then defensively, they're already better at safety.
Right.
I don't know how much worse they can get at outside linebacker because you're essentially just starting Yaya Diaby for more games and not playing Shaq Barrett at all because he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
So I kind of see an improved team this year for the Buccaneers. And we'll do the schedule and stuff in May when it comes out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot of good reason to feel some type of way and a positive way about these Buccaneers.
And they're going to add a couple more pieces, whether it's the draft or after the draft, to the secondary. But right now, I like the way the secondary is shaping up. Now, I see a lot of you in the chat, and that's perfectly fine, are questioning whether Zion McCollum is starting caliber material. And you know, that remains to be seen, right? I mean, we saw Zion McCollum as as a starter out of necessity last year because Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis were often injured. But this team does like his ascension, right? And yeah. and he did make huge strides in two areas that are very important. Number one is tackling. And number two is getting some pass breakups. And the next step for him, I think, is going to be getting some interceptions and some takeaways. He's a very athletic corner. And last year's experience did a world of good for him. You can't learn. You can only learn so much on the sidelines. You got to be out there and play.
Yeah.
So as Todd Bowles said the other day, and Matt, you and I were there for it, when he addressed the media after Baker Mayfield's press conference, we asked him about Zion McCollum. This was the first time we had talked to Todd after the Carlton Davis trade. And he said, Zion McCollum has the opportunity to start, right? He's penciled in. This is not in permanent marker.
Yeah.
This could be a dry erase marker if you're looking for a marker for Zion. But I think Bryce Hall is going to have a chance to compete, and we'll see if they draft a cornerback. Listen, if a good cornerback is there in the second round, or if you've got a player that you have rated highly, like a top 15 cornerback, and he slides down to number 26, I've got no problem with Tampa Bay taking a really good player in the first round because, as you mentioned, Jamel Dean may not be long for Tampa Bay after this season. So why not do what they've done in years past, which is draft a guy to replace the eventual starter? That's what happened with McCollum to Carlton Davis. So, yeah, taking another guy that could eventually start opposite Zion McCollum as soon as 2025, not a bad idea.
And I think it was his press conference, like right after the season was done, and Todd was asked about Zion, and because remember at the time, like, Zion played a little bit of safety in that playoff game against the Eagles, and he said, "I love Zion at corner. I think I like him at safety." So he obviously has a lot of optimism about Zion McCollum. And as far as him being a starter, potentially being a CB1 either this season or next season, I think last year he did a solid job, but there's certainly room for improvement. He needs to take the ball away because that's been the issue for all the Bucs corners.
Right.
Like, Jamel Dean was as much of a culprit as Carlton Davis was, and we can sort of say it about Zion a little bit because he dropped like an egregious one that should have been interception. But with that said, when the Bucs had their struggles, I never felt, oh, well, they're just picking on Zion McCollum, or man, like, Zion's a really big reason why the defense is getting absolutely dominated today, like I did two seasons ago when Zion was out there.
Yes.
On the flip side of it, he wasn't necessarily a game breaker or a game wrecker. Maybe that'll just come with time because, again, he was spot starting. One game he's on the left side, the other game he's on the right side based on who was in and out of the lineup, which, you know, isn't fair to Zion McCollum, but that's kind of the cards that he was dealt. So I think this season, with the opportunity, as Todd Bowles said, to be a starter and just stay on one side of the field or do whatever Todd Bowles decides to do. Occasionally he would have Carlton follow the top wide receiver, but obviously Carlton's not here anymore. Whatever they decide to do, I think just having a little bit more comfort and familiarity of knowing his role and staying in that role for the whole season, I think will help out Zion McCollum a lot this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm with you 100% on that. Meets McGee, another super chat here, $10. Thank you so much for making our Monday. We appreciate everybody making our Monday by joining us for roll call. Huge turnout today in the Peter Report podcast chat. And certainly here from a monetary perspective, Meets McGee with a $10 super chat. The Bucs have a history of drafting good cornerbacks in later rounds. They only drafted one in the first round that was worth a damn. I still get a twitch when I think about Rod Toast Jones. Well, yeah. How about another more frequent first-round cornerback that didn't exactly work out? That was Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah.
Did not pan out for Todd Bowles and Jason Light and Bruce Arians, who really, I think, cut him after the Arizona game in 2019. And so, yeah, not a good draft pick by Jason Light. That whole draft was not good. But certainly Light has seen better days since then, with some really good drafts. I think McCollum has got a chance to be a pretty good cornerback. We'll see. The thing I like about McCollum's attitude is he wants to be a dominant player. I mean, he has the want to. He's not afraid to talk about it either. But he's a player that's not all talk. And you got to be able to back up what you say But the one thing that I do like about him is sometimes you have to speak it into existence. And I think that he's a pretty positive kid that is going to talk himself into some more interceptions this year, because he has the ability to do it. He's just got to go out and be a little bit more aggressive in coverage, not play so much off.
Yeah.
And make some plays. And I think he will.
I don't think he lacks confidence by any means. Maybe after his rookie season, he might have, but I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore. And you brought up a great point on last week's podcast about that he should take this preseason and just kind of ball hawk and camp out, essentially, to take the ball away. And take if you miss chances on a couple of, who cares? It's the preseason. That's what these that's what these games are made for. And you only play a little bit in the preseason anyway. So, I think the ceiling could be very high for Zion McCollum this season.
Bucks are certainly hoping so.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a spotlight on him for sure now that he's competing. I'm not, again, like Todd Bowles, not giving him the starting cornerback role. But if I were to project the roster going into the season, I would have Zion as a starter. There are going to be more expectations on him. But with that said, he's in the best situation to meet those expectations than he's ever been in his career.
Yeah, I agree. Bat W with a very good question. When will you do your third mock draft? Well, it's coming this Wednesday. So be sure to look out for Peter Report's third mock draft. Josh Capo and I are working on that right now. And I'll be writing it up tomorrow, and we'll be publishing it Wednesday. And then Wednesday's show will be all about that specific topic. And tomorrow's show, don't have a graphic for it just yet, but we're going to be talking offensive line. The Buccaneers signed a couple of guys over the weekend, and Ben Bredesen from the Giants, who's got experience at center and guard.
Yep.
And Sua Opeta from the Eagles, who is a strong dude, 39 reps of 225 when he came out of the combine several years ago. Big, strong dude. And we'll tell you more about those offensive linemen. You can also read Josh Capo's article. I'm going to put it in the chat here about Sua Opeta and Ben Bredesen. Spent some time over the weekend with those players looking at their film. I'll drop those articles in the chat. Make sure you give them a read. And we'll have more on those guys and how the offensive line is shaping up. And is either one of these guys a potential starter, or are they still going to look offensive line in the draft, maybe as early as round one?
Yeah, we shall see. Bucks made a lot of moves. They were busy on a Friday, which was funny too, because Jason Light was like, yeah, I'm going to be on a boat on Friday. And still was able to get it done, and called out Adam Schefter in the process too. Said, sorry, I outscooped you, Adam.
Yeah, that was great to to see Jason Light break some news on his own Twitter account.
Yeah.
it's kind of funny how Jason kind of passed around some breaking news to different media members over the last week, and then decided to break some news on his own, which was really cool. I did have one other comment here I was going to get to. Let's see here. Well, this is always a good one. Richard Branham, love the show, guys. You rock. I look forward to every show. Keep it up.
Thank guys, you, Richard.
All love. Thank you so much. That's some awesome positivity here on a Monday to get the week going. And this has been a great month for us web traffic-wise. We really appreciate the Buccaneers.
Thanks to the Bucs for re-signing Baker and Mike Evans and Ravonte and bringing Jordan Whitehead back. Yeah,
we owe Mike Greenberg some beers for sure, as well as Jason Light for all of his hard work, and John Spytek and Mike Beal and all the guys over there in the personnel department, and Todd Bowles as well. But also you pewter people. You guys are the ones that really give us the traffic, so we really appreciate you guys tuning in, not just to the Pewter Report podcast. And if you listen to our podcast, make sure you check out our website, pewterreport.com. We've got a ton of news over there. We've got a free agency tracker. We just put up a tracker today that is going to track the top 30 visits. We've got four names there. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. You can go check out that story. I'm going to put that in the chat here as well, so you can read that either now or after the show. But just a ton of news. This has been one of the busiest Marches I can remember. And Matt, the news is not going to stop. We're not going to have a show next Monday because we're going to be driving to Orlando to cover the NFL annual meeting, which used to be called the NFL's owners meeting.
Yeah.
It's in Orlando this year, which we like. Last year it was in Boca Raton, the Palm Beach area. This year it is just down I-4, which seems close until you hit traffic and you realize it's like this far in the map, but it's like 2 hours to get there. But we're going to go down I-4. Myself, Matt Matera, Adam Slavon from Pewter Report will be covering that. And we'll get a chance to talk to Jason Light and Todd Bowles at the NFL annual meeting dinner on Monday night. And then Tuesday morning at 7:45 a.m. Eastern time, we'll be interviewing Todd Bowles for about 30 minutes. So we're going to ask Todd some more in-depth questions about free agency, et cetera, get his thoughts on the draft as well, and have some updates from the NFL annual meeting. We'll also have a chance, we believe, we hope, it usually happens, we'll get a chance to talk to Joe Glazier as well and ask him some questions. The Glaziers pretty much make themselves available one time a year, and it's at these NFL owners meetings. So we will not have a show next Monday, but we will have full coverage Tuesday afternoon once we get back in town. It may be Tuesday evening. We'll have to depend on what time we talk to Joe Glazier. If it's early in the morning, we'll be back in time for a 4 o'clock podcast. If not, might have prime to push it back to prime time on Tuesday.
Yeah, and we'll just push everything back a day podcast-wise. So no worries. You still get plenty of Bucks content and Pewter Report content. So, make sure you check it out. If you're not already doing so, please, as Rolando_U says, smash that like button. And please follow us on all of our social media on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We are at Pewter Report. And our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. Yes, we have the podcast 4 times a week, but we got some other great content, whether it's, things from events that we're at, press conferences, the combine, things like that. We've been putting out a lot more reactions and analysis and opinion videos, which based on the numbers you guys have seemed to like. So we'll put some more of that out as well, and coming up with some new ideas and things for content that I think you guys will be excited about as well. So please like and subscribe to Pewter Report TV. Leave a comment below once this episode is done. Could be anything. Hey, I love this new signing. I hate this new signing. I hate the Saints. Looks like they're going to sign Chase Young. I love the Bucks. I hope they beat the Saints again and win the division. So, please do so.
Yeah. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you all, speaking of signing, sign your own free agent. This is the best guy in the business, the best guy available on the market. If you're in the market to buy a new home or to sell your home, it's Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report. It takes a full team effort to win in football, and it's the same approach that you need in real estate. The Eric Gross Group, they've done hundreds of transactions in this crazy real estate market. They've got experience in all types of situations. Eric is an avid Pewter Report reader and a Tampa native. His dad was stationed at the MacDill Air Force Base here, so he knows this area like the back of his hand. Whether it's you're moving to Tampa from another state or from around the state, or you're moving out of the state, Eric can help you on both ends of the transactions, buying and selling, because he is part of the eXp Realty Group. They've got a network of over 85,000 agents. So let the Eric Gross Group turn your dream of buying or selling a home into a reality. Their clients are not just transactions, they're lifelong friendships. Here's what I want you to do. Visit Eric Gross Group on Facebook and Instagram, Eric Gross Group, or check out their website, housesinfla.com, housesinfla.com, for their inventory as well as their upcoming open houses. Or you can give Eric a call. This is a cell number, 513-907-4271, 513-907-4271. Start the conversation talking some Tampa Bay football and let it get into your real estate journey as you feel comfortable with Eric. No matter where you go in life, Eric Gross Group is here for you in all of your real estate needs. Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report.
All right, folks, we had a great show. Awesome turnout for roll call. A lot of fantastic.
Went by fast.
A lot of a lot of fantastic just questions, opinions. You guys always bring it. And today was a great show. Excited to talk about the Bucks offensive line tomorrow, outlook of the group, some of the new additions that the Bucks have signed in free agency, and we'll do all of that at 4 o'clock for that episode. So for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.